And now to Texas, where an alleged arsonist is about to go on trial for a hate crime. He's accused of burning down a mosque in the small oil town of Victoria. The mosque was set on fire more than a year ago. In the past year, there have been more than 100 incidents, threats, vandalism, or arson at mosques all around the country. NPR's Leila Fadel went to Victoria and reports on how different generations in the mosque are recovering.
It's Friday at the Victoria Islamic Center in this town of about 62,000 people southeast of San Antonio, a place where God is a big part of life for almost everyone. And for Muslims in Victoria, Friday means prayer and potluck. Kids play together on the floor.
But they don't come anymore.
Yeah, they usually don't come anymore.
They're shy, but, like, it's going
like,
to happen
again. What's going to happen? Like, yeah. They don't know.
That's Reza Kadri and Barir Safe talking about their friends who don't come to the mosque. Their parents are afraid. They're in one of two connected trailer homes. The old mosque is gone. The new one's being built. On this day, about 70 people pack the trailers. The aluminum mobile homes are the prayer space, the community rooms, the dining room, and everything else.
It's hard. I mean, some of us really were so attached to see your, you know, a place of worship really go down in the smoke and ashes.
That's Shahid Hashmi, a surgeon and one of the founders of this mosque that opened in 2000. He's lived in Victoria since 1984.
We have been involved with the community, and community has been involved with us. And that's where I think the greatest support came with this tragedy.
Overwhelming support in the days after the attack, he says.
We had already raised $500,000 in 24 hours. Unbelievable.
Ultimately, they would raise over $1 million from people in 90 countries, both Muslims and non-Muslims. After we talk, Hashmi rejoins the others for food. The table's filled with everything from spice biryani to seven-layer dip.
I'm an army brat. My mother was from a town that's about 45 minutes from here. And then my parents.
That's Heidi Ashrami. Her husband Abe is on the Islamic Center's board, and their kids take religion classes here. The potluck wraps up. Everyone prays, and the Ashramis invite me to their house the next day.
Hello.
Hi.
Come on in. Good.
Heidi says in the last few years, it's become a bit scary to be visibly Muslim. So she doesn't drive to the mosque with her scarf on anymore. She teaches at the local college and at work.
Don't talk about it now. It's just something that I don't even bring up because the mood is different.
She says President Trump unmasked a lot of hate toward Muslims and others. He proposed a ban on Muslims entering the country during his campaign. And their mosque was burned within hours of the first iteration of his travel ban that listed only Muslim-majority countries.
It really took that bad incident for me to come out and say, I am a Muslim, hello, I didn't, you know, before that. I was like,
oh. That's Abe, Heidi's husband. Now, he didn't hide he was Muslim, he just didn't talk about it. But looking at the rubble of his mosque, he says, he knew he couldn't do that anymore. Now, he's more willing to be really public about his religion and speaks about it whenever people ask.
You have to, like, take a deep breath and not let it get to you, because at some point you do question yourself, why am I doing it? Why do I have to prove to you that I'm a good guy? You know, it's like...
Especially, Abe says, when he's constantly asked to respond to fringe violent groups that have become what Muslims are in the minds of a lot of people. A new study by a think tank that does research on issues that affect American Muslims says attacks by Muslims or people perceived to be Muslim get significantly more media attention. And so Abe says with 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, he's asked to answer for the acts of a tiny slice of people doing terrible things.
I think we're relying on these people, the second generation and third generation, that they grew up here, they understand the system, they're eloquent, or I think things are changing.
When he says these people, he means his three kids and other U.S.-born Muslims like them. The climate seems to invigorate them. Janine, their daughter in high school, says at first she just didn't talk about her religion.
I didn't want to, like, have to feel that discrimination.
But over the last year, she started talking to her classmates about her faith.
I like telling them just so I can, like, if they say something, you know, like, racist or Islamophobic, I can, like, shut them down.
Her sister Hannah nods.
I feel like people on the outside have this kind of image of what a Muslim woman looks like.
Hannah says she's embraced all the things that make her who she is: Palestinian, American, Texan, Muslim. And now she's seeing versions of herself and the people she knows in fashion, television, and politics.
That, you know, you're not alone, even if you're in a small town in South Texas with not a big, you know, Arab or even Muslim population. There's people all over the world who are going through the same things that you are.
She says she's not trying to fit in anymore. She's embracing what makes her different. Leila Fadel, NPR News.